or study this afternoon, I want to visit the subject of prayer. I mentioned at our congregational meeting that I was wanting to return to this subject. I set the subject of prayer in front of the congregation as a theme for us in the coming year, and for a particular reason. I read a quote from the seminary professor Barry York that I found convicting, that when we are in periods of need, the people of God very naturally and earnestly cry out to God in prayer. But when we as a people are in times of comfort, those earnest prayers often falter or grow fewer and far between. So my desire is to have the Lord stir us up as a people to be prayerful, and to do that by giving regular reasons to pray, and then also encouraging you to consider what Barry York called prayer societies. And I'll just mention those prayer societies again briefly, just to reinforce the idea behind the prayer societies. And I set out these papers at home and forgot to bring them, so I do have one copy here that I can give out if anyone would like it. I can send these out as well. A prayer society is made up of those that are willingly coming together at a time that you and your small group specify for the reason of prayer. In times past, we may have called these prayer partners or prayer groups or things like that. The prayer society, I think, is an even older term. And I like Barry's refreshing of the use of this, mainly because it acknowledges that we live in a very complex world, and we are scattered geographically, and our responsibilities are such that our days are often filled with a variety of responsibilities, so that finding one time in the week when people can join together to pray is sometimes not very practical. But we do want to pray, and we are a praying people. And there are a variety of ways that this can be expressed. And by bringing out this idea of prayer societies, what I'm hoping to do is to encourage you to be in the practice of prayer. So a prayer society is a group of two or more people that meet for prayer at their own arrangement. That means at a time of the week that you mutually agree upon. It can consist of, for instance, men meeting before work, mothers walking and spending time in prayer. Some of these you may recognize as things that are already happening. Young people gathering at church after the service or before classes will have these characteristics. So there, you might have someone who is a coordinator just to be an organizer. They will meet at least once each month. And there will be a specific purpose or theme for prayer that's selected. So you may look on this page and you'll see some suggestions on reasons why you want to gather to pray. Fourth, there's a commitment to meet regularly with 15 minutes at least devoted to exclusively to prayer. Sometimes you gather for prayer and you talk about the weather, you talk about sports, and then you feel rushed to pray. Make this a priority that you're gathering to pray. It may include a short time of scripture reading, a quotation, or even singing of a psalm at the beginning or close to give direction or a sense of God's promise. to begin a society, as I've written here on the paper, agree with one or more people to begin one. Fill out this form and send it to me, or give it to me and or another elder, and then pray. Pray as an expression of your devotion to the Lord. I want to then suggest a reason for prayer for you in the coming month. And my intention is, on the last Lord's Day of each month, to pause whatever study we're in and to, in the teaching time, meditate on reasons for prayer. Some of you might know the catechism question and answer, what is prayer? Have any of you reached, or can you remember going over what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of His Spirit, confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. There's a lot that is said in that very short question. I'm going to highlight a couple of things today and then also give you a reason for prayer that I would encourage you to consider this coming month. It may prompt you to commit with someone to be a prayer society, or maybe something that you commit to privately on your own to make this a matter of prayer. The catechism question is a summary of what the Scripture teaches. It's a very helpful and faithful summary. The Bible speaks of prayer, and when it does so, it has in mind a simple and yet profound activity. It's simple in that there is the idea of communication between you and God. It's that, in a sense, it's that simple. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. That has in mind that basic understanding that prayer is communication. We are communicating with God. We are offering up our desires unto God. The Catechism cites Psalm 62, verse 8, as a proof text for this. It says there, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Not only does it exhort us to pray, it gives reasons to pray. God is a refuge for us. We can trust in Him. And therefore, we pour out our hearts before Him. The basis that is given to us is because of who God is. God is a refuge. He has revealed Himself to us. He has made Himself known, and He has made Himself accessible to us. And we have the opportunity to cry out to God for these the desires that we have. It is a matter of the heart as well. It is not a mechanistic type of activity. And do you know what I mean when I say prayer is not mechanistic? Maybe that's not the best term.
A vending machine?
Ah, very good. So elaborate on the that idea of a vending machine.
Prayers go in, goodies come out.
Yep, yeah. Kids, do you know how a vending machine works? Put your quarter in and out comes the goodies. Sometimes we approach prayer that way. We say the magic words, we put the money in, and out pops the goodies. Our commanding God, in a sense.
Well, I think it's kind of like the Anglican common book of prayer. I mean, in the sense like who's singing psalms, it says you sing psalms with grace in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that you sing the psalms, you
mm-hmm.
sing with grace in the heart.
So very
the same
good.
Thing with the prayers and the common book of prayer. And so I remember in high school, and, you know, the Anglican high school that I went to, that we look at the Book of Common Prayer, and I mean, it's like you're just reading these words. It didn't mean anything. I mean, it was just hollow, just to look and read the words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a common critique that God has of His people throughout Scripture. Very notably is in the Book of Isaiah, where God says of the children of Israel, "You draw near to me with your lips, but not with your heart." And all of worship, and prayer included, must be an expression of our heart, not just an outward recitation of prayer. And that can happen with written prayers. It can happen in just very, very casual prayers as well, where you say the same things day after day, and you say your Hail Marys and go on from there. The Protestant church isn't going to say Hail Marys, but you can definitely approach prayer in a very ritualistic way. You say the same thing every day without thinking about it or without it being a heart matter. Somebody asking what a Hail Mary is? yeah. It is it's a pass to the end zone at the end of the game when you're hoping that a miracle will happen. It is a Roman Catholic form of prayer that you repeat certain words over and over again in your prayers, and that's the technical Hail Mary. So that's a little bit of exhortation about prayer itself. Let me then expand on a reason to pray before we close. I started off by reminding you of one of the things that was really caught my attention from Professor Barry York. The observation is that when there is need, we pray. When we are comfortable, we often neglect prayer. This is not a day of comfort. This is a day for watchfulness. And the theme or the reason to pray that I would set in front of you for this coming month would be to be watchful, to have a sense of urgency in prayer that we are led to from God's Word itself. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the apostle says, "But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." It goes on from there to describe other gifts that are used in a sense of urgency, that this is not a day of comfort. This is a day of watchfulness. Peter will go on and very explicitly say in chapter 5, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." That's 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. And 1 Peter 4, 7 especially, but I read 7 through, you can read 7 through 11. I'll add to that Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, that exhort you as you see the day approaching to not neglect assembling yourselves together. You can read that on your own and make the subject of watchfulness a matter for prayer. As Peter says here, we are exhorted to be serious and watchful in your prayers. So I'd encourage you to take this individually, to be reminded that this is not a day of comfort, but a day of watchfulness, and to pray that you would have this same spirit of watchfulness, that you would watch and pray, and if God so moves that you would ask another to join you or a handful of others to join you to be part of a prayer society, then consider doing that and committing to gather at least once this month for a time to pray for this sort of watchfulness. Take those scriptures that I've given to you and those warnings and ask that God would make you watchful, make the church watchful, our congregation, and the church worldwide, remembering that so our brothers worldwide are suffering under the affliction of the devil as well. I'll pause and ask if you have questions about the urging to watchfulness specifically or anything about the prayer societies in general. I'll publish this on the SRPC net as well, so that you can have a copy of that in your own hand at home. Now let's close in prayer today. Lord God, we are very conscious of the invisible truths that the end of all things is at hand and that our adversary, the devil, is active. We're also conscious of the invisible truth that you are sovereign over all things and ruling, and that you have called us to be watchful and prayerful. We pray, Lord, that you would give us that sense of urgency in our individual lives and in our prayer life. Pray that you would spur us on by your Spirit, and that we would spur each other on, that we would exhort each other, even as we see that day approaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.